Welcome to the Homily Studio for the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time, which is Sunday, the 21st of September. Thanks be to God, it's spring. I don't know what life's like for you in your different parts of the countries, but Christchurch has pretty dismal winters. Some beautiful days, but oh, it can just get easterly blowing and cold. So thanks be to God for spring. Who do we have in this conversation?
Kia ora koutou. My name is Kate Cairns, and I'm a university leader in Auckland.
Kia ora koutou katoa. It's Rosalie Connors here. I'm the manager, special character at the New Zealand Catholic Education Office in Wellington, where it's a beautiful spring day.
Kia ora, I'm Margaret Beersley. I'm chief executive of Anglican Financial Care in Wellington, and I am also a launch out candidate.
Wonderful. Launch out, Margaret. Tell us a little bit more. It runs in the Archdiocese.
Correct. It's been running for about 20 years. Sadly, it seems to be coming to an end, but it was the deliberate choice of the Wellington Diocese to not have ordained deacons and instead to go to the effort of training up lay people who could become leaders in parishes.
Brilliant. Wonderful. Great. Wherever you are listening in the country, I know there's people across the motu, but also there's people in different parts of the world I know listen as well. So wherever you are listening, you are welcome. And in fact, you're not only an eavesdropper into our conversation, but we want you to be a participant, not only by listening, but maybe by sharing a comment on the scriptures for the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Let's take a moment as we begin, as we rightly do, in prayer. And of course, prayer is not a holy moment in the midst of our day. It's just waking ourselves up to the fact that God and Jesus Christ is working with us in every moment of every day and every night, in every circumstance for ourselves, also for those we love who may not carry such an awareness of the divine. So we gather as a community of people knowing our need for God. And let's pray, as we often do, and I love to do, in the entrance antiphon for the Sunday. I am the salvation of the people, says the Lord. Should they cry to me in any distress, I will hear them and I will be their Lord forever. Gosh, that's great, isn't it? I'll read it again. I am the salvation of the people, says the Lord. Should they cry to me in any distress, I will hear them and I will be their Lord forever. Amen to that. But those entrance antiphons, what great words to hear, the very first words we hear in the Eucharist, because Jesus comes among us as Saviour, and often we don't need a Saviour, we just need a bit of a hand every now and then under our own terms, but we're offered a Saviour. Let's be aware of our need for salvation. As we help those who are preaching to prepare and help those who are listening this Sunday to prepare, who's going to begin us? Who's ready to go with a reflection?
Oh, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go.
Well,
I've got the simple Kate Curran's version, what I thought when I read the reading.
Now, I'm just going to tell everyone that, who, of course, when you're listening, you can't see. Well, as Kate began to speak, she moved right forward in her chair. And you are very ready to go.
I am, and I'm going to tell you why. It's a little bit of a tease, but the simple version, my take on the readings is that they're about the way we treat each other and especially the way we treat the poor. But here's a trick for everybody. Using the little AI function that's coming up now at the top of all your Google searches, you can type in the 25th Sunday of Ordinary Time, Year C, and you can get a nice summary. So here's the summary.
Right.
And it's better than what I just said. The readings for the 25th Sunday of Ordinary Time remind us to choose God over money. So that's pretty explicit. They speak about justice, prayer, and being faithful with what we have. They call us to live with honesty and care for others, not just to seek wealth or comfort. God sees how we treat the poor and weak. And I do want to give some credit, because when I floated around a few other websites, I found these exact words on the Young Catholic Resources site. But, you know, they're pretty explicit. And what a good way for either homilists to get a quick fix, or anybody who's wanting to understand the readings and is a bit lost. So I think it's a nice way for either homilists to get a quick fix, and they probably don't need to, but any of us who look at readings and see them sometimes as an amorphous collection and not be able to pull threads, we can just use the AI function on Google
How
or any other
wonderful.
search engine and maybe use it, start with the readings. If you're confused, have a look and then go back with some insight.
That's great, Kate. I'm really pleased that you're promoting AI and the use of homily preparation because as someone, of course, people say, oh, no, that we're replacing the preacher. No, the AI doesn't replace the preacher, it pl replaces the blank page. So let's use every tool we can.
I'd like to add in from what Kate has said, and I'm probably just as excited as Kate is, not having done this wee wonderful task for a wee while. I used the old, just a straight Google search and went across a couple of sites, but some things that pulled out that add to Kate's is that actually we're responsible for the needy. And are we using our gifts, what God's given us, to help build up humanity? And therefore, and I think it was in, I think, oh yes, it was in the Gospel of Luke that, we're going to have to prepare a full account. And I think it might have actually literally quoted that in Luke, of how we've lived our lives and how we have built up humanity, particularly, I would say, from these readings and even from your antiphon, John, or from the church's antiphon that you read, John, is, that we are responsible and that God gives us gifts to bring about God's salvation. I think I might have lost my track a wee bit there, but that's roughly what I was thinking about.
You're right on, Rosalie. No loss of track. Thank you.
Right, and I use for my preparation Brant Petrie's Catholic Productions. So get the weekly mass, sorry, the preparations for the Sunday Mass from there, and it's a very I don't know, scripture study based, I guess, insight into all the readings. And Brant Petrie always comes from the perspective of what would first century Jews have understood by what Jesus was saying. And so you get quite a different perspective that way from just hearing the words in our contemporary understanding of them. And sometimes I think it makes them much more hard hitting. On the one hand, and on the other hand, and I think probably particularly with this Sunday's readings, all of them, yes, the focus is on supporting the needy, well, actually not cheating the needy, particularly those of us who are well off, because God will take account of every economic form of cheating others. But also, I think the focus is very strongly on what on earth we even do all of this for, which is eternal life. And being a true product of the 1980s when I did my theology degree, I think we have tended to lose a little bit of sight of the goal, the ultimate goal of what salvation is about. And I think the readings for this Mass actually remind us. What we're doing.
That's a great point, Margaret. I remember someone saying that the first thing we try to teach students of theology is the two dimensions of the reign of God. So the not yet dimension, which is the reward we get at the end of the life eternally, and the now dimension. Of course, in the past, I think we focus too much on the future. So this suffering is awful, but as long as I keep on saying my prayers and going to church, I'll get to heaven, and that's the goal. And maybe now the focus has shifted, so we don't think about eternity very much. We are too focused on the now. But Jesus, of course, understood and communicates both. There is the eternal dimension, which is available to us in the now and present. And I think the gospel pinpoints the very thing that makes it impossible for us to experience the reign of God in the present, and that is, we become the slave of the wrong thing. money is used here, or material possessions, we could say. When we're the slave of, let's use a different word to say it, when we're the slave of advertising, whatever pops up on TV or in the Facebook advertising, we think, ah, I need it, I have to have it, I'll only be happy when, which of course is the lie of advertising, because we get the thing we are determined now to have because we know we need it, and then we need something else. So the problem is, Christ is among us so that we can live fully and freely, and we allow ourselves to become slaves to every public, every opinion, or every possession.
I agree with you, John. I do find it challenging, though, having earned a good income for a long time. Sometimes I've tended to think that the sweat of my labour, the reward for it is by being able to go out and spend. And these readings are a really good reminder that that's so not the point. That wealth in itself isn't bad, but it's not our main goal. And it's how we use, not maybe, but there's the sense of how we use what we have to help others that's important. And I think that gospel also, points us to the steward who works out a more cunning way when he's called to account. There's a long version, a short version for people listening. So if you're at Mass on Sunday, you might get the short version, so you might not get the whole story here. But he's called to account because he's found to be doing things not quite right. And then he finds quite a sneaky way to reset his focus, and that is by reducing the debts of some of his master's debtors. And so he twigs onto the fact that actually relationships are going to be really important, because he's been cast out. He's not going to be wanting to be not in good relationship with people. But John, if I got this wrong.
No, not at all, Kate. The reason I'm sort of indicating to you is that I want you to speak now for a minute as the dean of a business school. Like, how does the business community cope with this gospel reading, which is suggesting that we don't need such a focus on so many of the things that people go to business school in order to get?
Yeah, I think the business school focus has shifted over the last 20 years considerably, because we've had, what we call the triple bottom line, so people, planet, and profits. So it's not just about profits. We've had much more focus on responsible business, and we've seen out in the business community businesses held up for saying, making grand statements and not fulfilling them, and consumer boycotts back, even 25, 30 years ago. So, the social responsibility of business is very strong in business schools. So, and my own business school, the one that I have the privilege of being in, has long had a focus on social impact.
I would really like preachers this weekend, or really encourage you to focus on this directly, because so many of our parishioners who will be listening to you preach are involved in the world of business in different ways. Kate, can you mention again the three?
Are people, planet, and profit. So environment, society, and the financial, economic bottom line. But of course, the economic bottom line is much wider, right, than just the firm. Now, that's not to say that we don't have investors who want firms to give them a good return and give them a profit, but they don't want them to be doing it illegally or immorally either.
Indeed. And in fact, it was the Franciscans 800 years ago who invented investment. Like, their main motivation for being able to give interest on loans was that it would enable the money that the rich couldn't let go of to at least be borrowed, and that they wouldn't lose return. So that's worth looking up, the Franciscans and investment. And I think a lot of business people in the congregation might be encouraged to hear how exactly what you're saying, Kate, can work together.
But I do think, I'll just be very quick and then somebody else can jump in, that the steward who turns his focus to relationships and trying to have some good relationships out in the community. He begins to act with more wisdom in doing so. But I just want to point out in New Zealand, this is Māori Language Week, and it's the 50th anniversary of Māori Language Week, Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori. And in Te Ao Māori, the Māori world, relationships are key. You know, there's a lot of ancient wisdom, you know, we can get from our Bibles, but also from our Indigenous peoples.
Indeed. Okay. Rosalie.
Well, I'm actually going to ask Kate a question, but I'm just pull me up if this is getting off track.
No, go.
Kate, so with that learning going on within the business school, do you think it is having an effect outside the learning situation, i.e., our business world is becoming concerned about the three Ps that you've just talked about?
I think it's come from both sides. Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, with social media, we can hold people to account, to use those earlier words, pretty jolly quickly.
Indeed.
I guess it's just why I asked that is, you know, with some other reading that I did, which actually was from the August edition of Tui Mōtō, you know, it was Kevin Clements was sort of commenting on the current political and social environment, you know, that exalts wealth, and that often that wealth is at the expense of the needy. Yeah, because you know that wealth often gives them the authority to, I guess, do what they want rather than what is good for humanity. So hence why I asked those questions. But that article of Kevin Clements, I mean, I'm assuming maybe all you have read it, but I've sort of been a bit busy lately, but I just picked it up at lunchtime yesterday. And in reading it and reading the readings for Sunday, I just you know, the similarities were really struck me. The article was called "Live as if Every Life Matters," and I think that really pulls out some of you know the key concepts that were in the reading. Well, there's a
We
little hint
also have to pray. You know, we're told in 1 Timothy, that second reading, to pray for
yes.
kings, pray for everyone, but kings and people in authority. And yeah, I think, you know, whoever's in authority in any way, state, or form doesn't get everything right, and you know, is certainly needing our prayers.
Margaret.
Absolutely.
Yes. So, interesting. I think well, the readings kind of focus on or have an unromantic vision about wealth. So all wealth is tainted, all money is tainted, apparently, according to Brant Petrie. The Jews believed that you couldn't be involved in commerce without sinning in some way, shape, or form. It was just the reality, fact of life. You know, if someone does well, it's probably because they've got a good deal and somebody's done worse at the other end. So that's kind of the way it is. And then kind of the shocking thing, I guess, about the parable in the gospel, and typical of Jesus because he shocks all the time, right? No wonder he got killed, is that the steward kind of steals twice from his master, right? So he steals the first time by being wasteful with the property. And apparently the word for wasteful is the same word as prodigal, like in the prodigal son, so like massively wasteful. And then he steals the second time by reducing the debts of the debtors. Well, whose money is he giving away? His master's, right? So he's utterly and thoroughly deceitful. And yet Jesus, via the parable of the master, praises him. Extraordinary. Would have been very shocking. We ought to be shocked. But of course, what he's praising is not the theft, but the astuteness. And again, apparently some translations use the term rather than astute, which is in our translation in the Missal, uses the term. Sorry, let me just, I'll find my notes.
Margaret, you've got me hanging out for this word. I can't. It, what's
Prudence. It's prudence, right? The virtue of prudence. And you think, like, really? But so what he's talking about this kind of, I think, what I was alluding to before, like the eternity is so important, so much the goal, like that doing something even like that to buy friends. So in this case, the steward was buying friends because he was going to be kicked out, and he didn't want to, he knew he couldn't make his own way in life, right? And so effectively, Jesus is saying, give away what's been given to you. Like the Lord gave it to you. It's the Lord's, it's the Master's. Everything we have, even well-off people like me, who's been paid well much of my life, it's not mine. It's been given to me. Give it away prodigally. It's the Lord's stuff that he's given me. Give it away through almsgiving, because you're buying friends who will welcome you into paradise, the people you've helped through almsgiving. Well, do we give away prodigally? That's a challenge to me. Seriously.
Do you know the extraordinary thing about generosity? Many people have commented this to me, and I've experienced it myself, is the moment I give away, I don't miss what I thought I would miss because I was giving it away. Once it's given, there's actually a joy in the gift. But I want to, I'm realizing that many people after hearing today's gospel will say, yeah, but so Jesus is kind of encouraging us to be dishonest. You change the word there, Margaret. You talk about other translations saying prudent. So how does Jesus walk this? Is it okay to steal for your employer? I suppose is a basic question.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, of course it's not. And I think that was the whole shock value of the parable. And we know in Jesus' parables, he always shocks. He's not praising the actions, but he's praising the cleverness, because he goes on to say, about the sons of this world being more, I don't know, clever, astute, prudent, whatever, than the sons of light. In other words, I think he's kind of suggesting to his followers that they've got to sharpen up a bit,
Yeah.
and
Okay.
figure out.
That's a very good point, Margaret, you make about the shock. So many of Jesus' parables were just like he was using shock as a technique, not to be unpacked in detail about the right and wrong, what exactly did it mean, but take the message. He's shocking here the right people. So Jesus is a pretty edgy character in this because so often he says exactly what isn't acceptable in order to communicate in a point which is essential. And I think that's a very important point there. Let's understand a lot of this not as literal truth, but as technique in which to convey an essential truth. I don't know if that made sense, but
Yeah.
look, I can't believe that we're almost on time, but we've been chatting away here for 25 minutes now. So that we don't take people away from their busy lives for too long, and we try and stay within our half-hour limit. What's the take-home if you were speaking to people that you knew this weekend about these scriptures? What would you want them to take away? One point.
Well, either you I think, an obvious one is to jump into the how we spend our money, how we spend our time, what we do with the gifts that we've been given. But I'm going to take a totally different tack and go back to the second reading, where we were reminded to pray. And I was reminded of I think they call it the Pope Francis prayer, which he uses the five fingers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it sort of matches onto this reading in a wee way. So I think, the thumb, pray for those closest to you, your family and friends. Your index finger, pray for those who teach and guide you. Your middle finger, pray for leaders and those in authority. The ring finger, pray for sick and weak among us for support and healing. And then the little pinky, pray for yourself and acknowledge your own needs and desires. And I thought it was rather nice to put yourself last and all of that, because I know for myself, sometimes when I do pray, I start with me. And
Great.
these readings are not about starting with me.
Great. So, Kate, can you send us two things? Can you send us the five finger prayer so that we can attach it for people to find, and also send us your three P's?
Okay.
Okay, Margaret.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm reminded very much of a song from one of my all-time favorite bands called the Hillbilly Thomists, and they have a song about Amos. So our first reading is Amos, and one of the verses goes, "The Lord's going to shake you so that you can awake to new life, leave the old way behind." So that's it. The threats in Amos have a purpose.
Great. And also, Margaret, if you find something on prudence or that book we're speaking, if you can find something, again, we'll attach that below. Rosemary,
Sure.
again, you get the last word.
Well, a bit like Kate, I'm actually decided I'd take a bit of a different tact, and I've been working in a school pretty much all of last week, which is I do sometimes, but not all the time. But and I just sort of thought, you know, maybe one thing that if there are families, including grandparents, listening to this, maybe there might be a table discussion about how the family serves God and instead of serving money.
Oh, indeed. Well, and wherever you are listening, you'll have your own thoughts, reflections. Please add them at the comments button beneath this podcast, and let's bring all of our thoughts, our reflections, our ongoing conversations to prayer. Aware that when we pray, we're not trying to twist the arm of a God we perceive to be distant, but when we pray, we're waking up to the reality of the divine present here and now, in midst of our circumstances, our struggles, our joys, hopes, griefs, and anxieties. And in the words of the Collect, the opening prayer for this Sunday's Mass, we pray, O God, who founded all the commands of your sacred law upon love of you and of our neighbour, grant that by keeping your precepts we may merit to attain eternal life. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.